You know, those of you who are here regularly, of course, you know that I don't preach about money very often. I don't talk a lot about money. Occasionally, I do, and today is one of those things. And for those of you who are guests with us today, please know that we're not asking for anything from you, but we do want something great for you, and that is a dynamic, life-giving relationship with Christ. But today, I will be talking a little bit about money. And maybe more than money, it's about the attitude that we have towards it and how we manage that. You know that I've been doing a series called Influencers, Small People Making a Big Difference. And we have been studying about people who make people that we know very little about. In fact, sometimes we don't even know names or any such information. Just a few details that Scripture gives us sometimes. It's only a line or two. So we last week talked about, now I think this is sermon number four, and let me just get, I think I'm getting there. For some reason, my sermon is not there. So we talked about the servants of Naaman in the book of Kings, and a girl that's unknown, she is being taken captive, and her master is sick, and so she says that sees her master sick, and she tells the wife, you know, you should do, my master should go to Samaria. There's a prophet there that would heal him. And then there's also Naaman's own servants, these guys that are traveling with him that we don't know their names. We just know that when Naaman did not react very well to the instructions to go and do to dip himself seven times in the river, and he got mad. He didn't think that was cool, that there were better rivers in other places. But they said, Father, you know, if the prophet had asked you to do something great, you would have done it. So when he asks you something so simple as going to dip yourself seven times in the river, of course you would do that. So he goes and he is healed. And so we said then that the servants have important insights, that it takes courage to speak to the powerful, and that simple suggestions can have great results. And we saw those in the lives of these individuals. So that kind of brings us to the next sermon, which is today's, that I'm calling it The Generous Poor Widow. Now, many of you, if you're familiar with your Bibles, you will know the story. Again, we find it in Mark and we find it in Luke. And we will get there in a second. Randy Alcorn, in a little book called The Treasure Principle, he says, God doesn't look at just at what we give. He also looks at what we keep, speaking about money. Chip Ingram, I'll quote him a couple more times, said he studied the issue of giving and generosity. He said, I was shocked to learn that being generous has much more to do with being smart, shrewd, wise, and deliriously happy. In a word, generosity is genius. In fact, he's serious, and his little book is called The Genius of Generosity. And listen to this story. I'll make some comments after it. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. To him, Jesus said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has more money in the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Pretty interesting, isn't it? What Jesus says. Now, it may come as a little bit of a surprise to us that Jesus looks at this setting where people are given money. In our culture, money and finances are very private things. In most of the world, it's very common when I traveled to other countries that people would say, oh, well, how much did you pay for your car? How much did you pay for those shoes? How much did you pay for your house? I mean, we don't ask those questions in our culture. We just like, you know, your money is your business. Well, for those of us who follow Christ, our money is not just our own business. It's also God's business. And so he makes this, we have this story recorded in a couple of the Gospels. So number one, I want to point out that it's a very intense time. Because if you look at the both the stories in Mark and in Luke, you will discover that this story is told on the Monday of Jesus' Passion Week. The day after what we call the triumphal entry, where he enters Jerusalem, and the crowd was wild, and they're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And of course, by the end of the week, they're going to betray him and crucify him. But on Sunday, everybody's happy and celebrating. And the next day is when Jesus tells this story. Now, Jesus begins this whole area, this teaching that happens in these chapters, speaking and warning his disciples about the Pharisees and the scribes. Do not be like them. And he kind of concludes with giving this as an example. But I want you to understand something, because I think we get the idea that the scribes, who were the experts in the law, also often the ones who would transcribe, meticulously copy a scripture. And then the Pharisees, who took all the commandments that we find in Scripture, and then they came up with additional ways of how to apply those in daily life. Now, if we only listen and read to some of what we find in the Gospels, we would conclude that they were all really nasty, evil, ungodly people. But that's not true. Many, the majority, in fact, were godly, God-loving, God-fearing people. But there were a few of them that did not like Jesus. So I want you to understand that Jesus takes a moment in the last week of his earthly life to tell us this story, to make an object lesson. And we're always told that what a person says in the last days is really important. And I think that Jesus is saying something important in this intense time. He wants to get a point across. So the second thing I want you to see, it's the interesting setting. It's in Jerusalem, there is a temple. And one of the outer courts of the temple is called the Court of Women. And that's because the women could only go into that part of the temple. Inside that, there was what was called the Court of the Gentiles. So Gentile men could go even further into the temple. And then, of course, you have the rest of it, and eventually the Holy of Holies, or the holy place, where as far as the Israelites, that is where the very essence of God's presence dwelt. So it's happening here. And in this courtyard that is not very big, there are 13 receptacles where offerings for different kinds of things are put in. So you remember that in an earlier time, Jesus had overturned the tables and driven the money changers out. That's where this happened, because they were making money out of trading. So they had to give an offering, and people would bring their sheep or their doves, and the sellers would say, oh, you know what? That's not really the good quality that God deserves. So you know what? Get rid of that. But we're going to sell you one at a very expensive price. This one is good. This one will please God. The other thing is that sometimes they would bring, of course, a financial money offering. And they came up with a system that said the regular money was no good to give an offering to God. So we have a special temple coins that you can buy from us at a rate that's not favorable to you. Now you will have the correct coins to give your offering to God. So that's where this was happening. This is why Jesus was very upset, and that's why he drives them out. It happens in the same setting, but there are these 13 receptacles where people come and deposit their offerings. We only have one back there, as you know now. So now the interesting thing is that each of these receptacles was for a different kind of offering, but also they were shaped in the form of a trumpet. And they were made out of metal. Now you remember, I remember we would take our kids, and there's some in the store, the mall, especially the one at the Teller's World of Science. There's this thing that looks like a funnel, and you drop a coin, and it does this. Well, it was kind of like that. And what would happen is that people then would come and deposit their offering for whatever that receptacle was, and maybe they would actually deposit in multiple ones. But then some people, and this is where Jesus is talking about the Pharisees and the scribes, that they wanted to be noticed in their giving. So instead of, you know, bringing two $100 bills, let's say, they would bring $200 worth of pennies, and they would chuck them so that it would make all this noise as it was going down into the bottom. And they felt good because they were noticed by humans that they were giving generously. This is why Jesus, again, Jesus says they're doing it for show. And so this is the setting in which this story happens. And I find it fascinating that Jesus goes to the place where people are giving. Now we just sang a song, "You Can Have It All." And I think that surrendering our hearts, our lives, our skills, our abilities, our families to the Lord can be hard some days. But for some of us, not for everyone, for some of us, surrendering, giving Him our wallet is probably the most difficult part. And Jesus is saying, "I want all of you. And if I have all of you, your wallet is mine too." So remember that. So that's the setting. We're moving to the sort of the next thing. It's an insightful observation. And the insightful observation has to do with this, that Jesus is watching that these many rich people are coming to give fairly significant amount of money, and they're doing it in such a way that others notice. But he says they are giving it out of their abundance. They give a lot because they have a lot. But in their giving, they still keep a lot. That's observation number one. These many rich people put in a lot of money out of their abundance, out of their wealth. I know that you know, sometimes people have the idea that if I was a millionaire, I would give money away like crazy. I think it was John Rockefeller who said that he would have never given his 10% of his first million he ever made if he hadn't given a 10% of the first dollar he ever made. But the insightful observation, number one, the wealthy are giving out of their wealth. They're giving a lot, but they're keeping a lot. And then Jesus says there's this poor widow. Now, earlier in the chapter, he's talked about how the scribes and the Pharisees, the scribes particularly who were the experts in the law and also kind of functioned like lawyers, have often taken advantage of the widows. And that they wanted all these places of honor, and they wanted to be addressed as, "Oh, sir, master," or as it was traditional in their culture, "father." And I wonder if this widow is actually one of those widows whom they have abused and have taken advantage of, and in the process taken some of her money. And Jesus is saying that he doesn't want us to be like the Pharisees, because they have the pride of privileges and the hypocrisy of holiness, pretending to be holy when they're not. And so this widow, again, we don't know her name. And I think it's really cool that Jesus highlights a woman. Now, the fact that she is a widow in her culture, because they didn't work, they often did not have an education, with not much of a social assistance program, she was destitute. And in fact, the two copper coins that she gave, the word that is used here is in reference to coins that widows and the poor would receive from the temple. These two little coins, you know what it was for? What they were for? It was to buy a day's worth of bread. That's all it was. Two little coins to buy worth of bread. And what Jesus is telling us is this woman has given all she has, And now she doesn't have money to buy bread. She's given it out of her poverty, out of her need. And Jesus is saying, and she put everything in. There's nothing more left. And I think that there's an element of faith that is being exercised by this widow in giving out of her need. And Jesus says that we need to be more like her. So that's the observation. Some give out of their wealth, some give everything in their need. In fact, again, this woman was probably prepared to pass up on her meal for the day. So there's this contrast that you find in the story, and I think that Mark tells them in such a rich way. And most scholars think that the story that Mark tells us, because Mark was not one of the disciples, but it's probably what Peter shared with him. It may be the stories that Peter remembered and Mark wrote them down. But here's the contrast. Number one, there's many rich, one poor widow. Many and one. The other is that many coins, two small coins. Out of abundance, out of poverty, out of self-reliance, to trust in God. Jesus compares those things in this story as we find it here. I was out biking yesterday with Jason was with us part of the time, and a fellow from another church here in town was part of the time, was with us as well. And somehow we started talking about church giving, and I was saying to him that in churches there's sort of this kind of debate on whether pastors should know or should not know how much people give. Now, I've chosen to kind of be uninvolved in all of that. Occasionally, I may ask, not details, just, again, because I think how we handle our finances is one evidence of how we are doing in our spiritual walk. But I don't know how much people give or how often they give or when they give. I don't know that. But Jesus apparently seemed to be okay with pinpointing this out. I remember the Spanish church that I attended in Idaho for a few years. During the meeting, they put a list on the wall of everybody who gave and how much they gave. And even back then, I thought it was kind of weird. But, you know, God knows. And that should probably be a little more scary than other people knowing. Or maybe more satisfying than other people knowing. Let's go back to Tim Keller. I'll quote Tim Keller. He says, a lack of generosity refuses to acknowledge that your assets are not really yours, but God. And this is the treasure principle. Randy Alcorn's book, he basically says that one of the realizations that we need to come to is that nothing we have belongs to us, that it's all God's. I've mentioned this story before, I've quoted him today, Chip Ingram. He tells the story that when he first started in ministry in the Dallas area, this man invited him to go for lunch and gave him an address. Chip says he got there, and it's one of these huge towers in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And he goes up to the floor that he's been given on the business card, and there's all these receptionists and everything else. And he's like, I feel so out of place, but, you know, I'm here to look for so-and-so. And they're like, oh, just have a seat. He's coming. He said you'd be coming. And so they go up to the top floor of this building. This man owned an accounting firm, a large accounting firm. And the man said to Chip, while they were having lunch, listen, I really want to help poor people. God's blessed me, and I want to help poor people. The problem is I don't know any poor people. But I'm guessing that you do, and you're aware of needs that people have. He goes, so this is what I've done. I have started a checking account, and here's the checkbook. You have signing authority. Now, I just want you, as you come across needs, I trust you. Where there is a need, just write them a check. And then every month, you and I are going to get together and you're going to tell me who you helped, and I'll put more money in the account. Pretty cool, isn't it? Chip Ingram said at that time, he was very young, he goes, I had no idea how to balance a checkbook up to that point. But when I was handling that man's money, I made sure that every time we met for lunch, I had balanced his checkbook. And I could tell him all the account, all the details of who I happened to help with his money. I hope you're catching what the point of this is. Ingram says, I've come to realize that everything I have is his money. And that someday I have to give an account for that too. Again, listen. Money, it's not good or bad. It's what we do with it. Money does seem to trip us up quite often more than other things. Scripture tells us that not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And people can be generous whether they have little, like this poor widow, or whether they have a lot. I could tell you stories of people that I know who gave away hundreds of thousands of dollars to God's kingdom and to other charities. Generosity doesn't depend on how much we have. Generosity depends on whether we understand who owns what has been entrusted to us, whether I own it or if he owns it. So some of us need to tell ourselves, Lord, everything I have is yours. Some of us need to tell ourselves, I've known that and I've tried to live that way. And I'm thankful for those who taught me and those who've been examples to me. I know there's stories here that you could share of how God has been faithful to you financially and how you have trusted him and he has always come through. So I want to make 2 points on how we can make a big difference, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity, going to give us an opportunity to put that into practice. Okay, number one, we can make a big difference by giving sacrificially. I know it's a tough economic time. I know that we're not doing very well as a country. The world's in a bit of a financial mess, and I don't know that anybody really knows when it's going to change, when it's going to be better, or anything like that. But we can give sacrificially. And some of you are already doing that. Some of us are learning to do that. Some of us want to. Some of us maybe struggle with guilt that we're not. And I don't want you to struggle with guilt. I don't want you to go home and say, oh man, I feel so bad. No, the point is not about feeling bad. The point is about obeying God with what he calls us to do and trusting him. So number one, giving sacrificially. And I think in this day and age, that's probably true for most of us. Anything we give is to give sacrificially. Number two is by giving to foster trust in God. I think that that's one of the main points that Jesus is trying to make. This poor widow gave everything, potentially stuff that had been given to her to buy bread for the day. She gave it away, and that forced her to have to trust God to provide in some way. I think that must be hard, don't you? I don't know that any of us here have ever given under those circumstances. And again, we don't give to be blessed. We give because God's already blessed us, because everything already belongs to him. Again, Chip Ingram, this is what he said, and I encourage you, right now, media, you can find that the series called The Treasure Principle. I have that little book if you want to borrow it. The Genius of Generosity. The Genius of Generosity. But he says, to be smart, spend carefully. To be wise, save regularly. To be genius, give extravagantly. Okay? So God never asks us to be irresponsible with our finances. Please understand that. He's not asking us to be irresponsible. He's not asking you to go home and sell your house and give everything to the poor. I think this is a really biblical way of putting it. To be smart, spend carefully. To be wise, give or save regularly. And to be genius, give extravagant. So we can make a difference with sharing part of what God has called us or has given to us already. So here's where I want to invite you to put some of this into practice. These folks here are my friends. Arthur and Vera, Emma and Zenya. Arthur and Vera have a 2.5-year-old boy, and their mom is also with them. I told you that a few weeks ago they fled Ukraine, and the stories will it sounds like a movie. It's what it's on. And I hope that one day you will get to hear them in person of how they escaped. And they were going to go to Romania because there's a Canadian embassy there. The wives already have visas for Canada. The man and the son and the mother are still waiting for their visas. But I found out that they were going to Romania with nowhere to go. They just were going to get to Romania. And so I reached out to a friend of mine who's a missionary there, and they welcomed them in. They took them in with open arms. They gave them a place to live in their facilities. The community has welcomed them, and they are involved in ministry. This last week, they were running a camp for Romani kids about an hour away. And in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, they will be running a camp for Ukrainian refugee children near the Ukraine border. They are busy. These folks are smart, hardworking, but everything they had is gone. They fled their town because it was being bombed, the surrounding areas, and now it's run by the Russian military. And so they're waiting. And I talk to them regularly, encouraging them to trust God in the process. But my friend that took them in, he's a missionary. Now, I don't know if you know, but most missionaries are not rich. They're just like making ends meet. But now, out of the kindness of their heart, they have opened up and they're basically caring and providing for this, it's six individuals. The son and the mom are missing. And so I would like to give you an opportunity to help the missionaries as they are hosting them. Okay? So the missionary, he works through an organization, a charitable organization here in Canada. Here's how you can participate. You can give either through an offering envelope, and you can give cash or use the debit machine. You can do so as an e-transfer. You can do it also through the Give tab on our website or in our app. And just designate Romania. And then we'll make sure that the funds go to the missionary to help offset the expenses, the extra expenses that they are incurring for hosting six individuals. And I'd like to give you an opportunity to do that over the next couple of weeks. Just designate Romania. Then we will know to take those funds and pass them on to our missionary or the missionary that they are staying with. Again, I remind you, Scripture tells us to not grow weary in doing good, in helping others, particularly those of the household of faith. And these are folks that, out of no action of their own, they're refugees. They have left everything behind. I can tell you that Vera, her desire was, God, I want to go back to Maritopol. I want to go to Maritopol. I want to go to Maritopol. And God has had to, very gently, but still incredibly painful, deal with, trust me. Trust me. And if you never go back to Maritopol, will you trust me? There's been a lot of tears shed over little things like that. A lot of why. A lot of, God, this hurts. God, this seems unfair. But God, I will trust you. 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 And so we can be a little part of an answer to their prayers. All right? Any questions on that? You understand what I'm asking you to do? Okay. Next couple of weeks, let's do that. And make a big difference by being generous, by giving sacrificially. A big difference in the life of these folks. I'm trusting and believing that you will be meeting them before too long. but not before the Lord so determines. I am very firm with them and loving, and just wait on the Lord. Because I know that again, you know, I'm not very patient. I don't want to become impatient in what God is doing and how God is working in their lives. That all right. You will be a blessing to them, I know. Father, thank you that your word reminds us again and again that you are good, that you meet all of our needs, that you look after us, that you have blessed us with jobs and health and skills and abilities. You give us favor in our place of work. And Lord, today we acknowledge anew that everything we have is yours. And we will make a difference by giving. By giving of that which you have given to us. And so today we say, yes, Lord, everything I have is actually yours. I'm not the owner, I'm just the manager. And I will be very mindful of that. Lord, in this opportunity that we have, we pray that, that there'll be a response to that, but that it will become a lifestyle. That we become people who make a difference by giving generously, giving sacrificially, and giving to the point that our trust in you has to grow. We pray for these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.